everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Happy New Year, Chase Oaks. My name is Ryan Leek, and I am so glad that you decided to kick off the year by going to church. You're doing such a good job. I love this time of the year because people are incredibly motivated to change relationally, physically, mentally, spiritually. They are open to newness. And for some of us, well, that's exactly what we could use at the top of a brand new year, especially if you're one of those people that doesn't get things right the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, and then something magical happens. Midnight strikes on the new year, and you think to yourself, maybe the fifth time will work this time. There is a brand new openness to it. And let's just say you're here today, Christian or not, this is what I know about all of us. We all could use a little bit of new. We could all use a little bit of a reset, a do-over, because sometimes you take some L's. Sometimes you take some losses. Perhaps your marriage could use a reset, could use some change. If a friend, a family member, a colleague invited you to church, or maybe they sent you a link to this message, here's what I can tell you about them. They believe you could use some new too. And that's why they've been praying for you. That's why they invited you here, to say, hey, maybe this could be the moment. And there are a few options that every single one of us have as to what could be a game changer for us, or dare I say, a year changer, that could be the thing that shapes our entire year. For some of us, it's salads. You know what I mean? Like a little paleo, a little Whole 30, some quinoa. Like that's going to be the year changer for us. For some of us, it's a treadmill, okay? Or a gym membership that you actually use. You can't just say, I got a gym membership. That means nothing, okay? You have to use it, okay? Maybe it's a trainer. Maybe it's a budget. Maybe it's an investment. Maybe it's a financial advisor. Perhaps it's a therapist. A specific podcast, a YouTube channel that you subscribe to. Perhaps you follow a social media influencer that says something that creates this light bulb moment for you that makes you go, aha, this is it. Now, while all of those things are very plausible, and I could tell you many stories of how any of those things have made a significant impact on my life and the people that I love, I have had the opportunity to sit across from some people who are getting some W's, who are winning. They're winning in their relationships. They're winning in their finances. They have a marriage that is thriving, not surviving. They find fulfillment in their career. They love what they do, and they love who they do it with. And I found a common denominator in 2024 of what these people do well. They have phenomenal conversations with themselves. They are expert conversationalists with themselves. The story that they tell themselves is pretty powerful. It's very kind. It's very intentional. While others that often are taking some L's, the conversations that they're having with themselves is toxic. They're mean. I don't know if you've ever been in conversation with somebody that was so mean to themselves, they started to be mean to you because they've been talking to themselves. I don't know if you know this, nobody wants to admit this, but let's just put all of our cards on the table. We all talk to ourselves, okay? You're not crazy, you're normal, okay? Every single one of us talks to ourselves. Maybe you do this in the shower, okay? My wife is always, like, she'll just walk in the bathroom, she'll be like, who are you talking to? I'm like, nobody. I mean, I'm just, you know, just processing some things out loud. She goes, you're talking to yourself. I went, you do this too, relax, okay? Like you talk to yourself in the mirror. We all talk to ourselves in traffic, okay? Like this is a normal thing. Some of you are talking to yourselves right now. You're like, why is he got on a suit? Are we a suit church right now? What's happening, you know? Like you're having a conversation with yourself about life, about the church, about the music. Like we're all doing that. And I just gotta tell you, I think your whole year could be completely different if you have the right conversation. In 2025, you're gonna have lots of conversations. Let me tell you, the most important one that you're gonna have all year long is the one that you have with yourself. And so today, I'm gonna give us three vital conversations that I think can shape our year. And, spoiler alert, I really think you should invite Jesus into that conversation. You came to church, so what else did you expect? I'm a Jesus guy. Call me crazy, okay? But something powerful can happen in your life when you say, God, I got some thoughts, I got some feelings. Would you come? And would I just make some space for you to speak to me this year? Because what can happen for you and for me is we could just find ourselves in 2025 having another year that's just busy. So busy that we actually don't make space for a God that loves us so much and has so much to say to us. And I just think when you have these three vital conversations and you invite God to be a part of it, I think it'll absolutely reshape your year. The first conversation that I think that we have to have in 2025 is the identity conversation. The identity conversation, the central question that we find in this conversation is, who am I? Who am I? And oh, by the way, you've got so many options to find your identity in so many things. I remember being a middle schooler, walking into a lunchroom and walking into a gymnasium and thinking to myself, okay, if I just perform, one of them might accept me, and then maybe if this specific person, if Eric Larson, I remember his name, okay, like if he is my friend, then I am somebody. I took it even further. I said, if they invite me to their house, that's where the cool people are, and that's where the accepted people are, and perhaps if they are my friend, then them being my friend says something about me. And then you find yourself in college, and you might find yourself bouncing in and out of relationships and thinking, well, maybe this is the one that's going to somehow tell me who I am. Some of us even get married and have kids and a few animals running around the house, and you could find yourself in a happy marriage still waking up going, who am I? And what on earth am I doing with my life? And when you get there, what happens? A lot of us is we pick up our phones and we start scrolling on social media looking for who we are. And I read this verse in December and it just blessed me. And this is Jesus we're talking about. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Savior of the universe. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, in case you've been thinking about getting baptized, you're like, I don't know, Jesus did it. You should think about it. And so as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Now, just want you to imagine this movie-like moment. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Do you want to know why this scripture is absolutely insane? It's because the Jesus you and I know hasn't done anything yet. This is so early in the story of Jesus that you and I know. He has not walked on water yet. That's cool. He has not raised anybody from the dead. That's amazing. He has not opened a blind eye. He has not opened a deaf ear. And oh, by the way, he has not saved the world yet. Yet the heavens are opening up and God's going, that's my boy. And I love him. Which completely flips the gospel of what some of us have been taught. I know so many people who have walked away from Christianity and so many people that don't even want to be a Christian because they think, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with all those rules. I would never be good enough to be a part of the group. But right away, as the gospel is getting started, it's like, hey, just so you know, this isn't, Jesus did not come to the planet to give us a to-do list. And while we're extremely motivated, what could easily happen for you and for me is we could set out a list of goals and things that we want to accomplish. And I pray that you do. But I also pray that in the process of accomplishing those goals, you don't make your identity the accomplishment, because that's the trap. It's to say, Daddy, look, you see what I did this year? Did you see what I accomplished? Any one of us could easily begin to place our identity in clothes, in our zip code, in our house or our second house or our car or even our kids' accolades. I'm the parent, along with my wife, she's there too, of a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old that play basketball. We're on lots of sidelines and lots of football fields. And it's amazing how many parents are putting their identity on the field they're not even on. Going, if my kid makes it, well, then what does that say about me? And I'll be honest, I wrote this message for me. Because I am action-oriented. I am an Enneagram 3. What does it mean? It means I wake up driven, okay? It means I wake up with a to-do list, and if I don't accomplish it, I wake up hours earlier the next day to make sure that I crush it the next, like I am all drive, all the time, accomplishing as much as I possibly can before I die. And the temptation, especially for somebody that is on a stage quite often, is to actually let your applause become my identity. So even I, before I come out on a stage, have to go, God, this is all about you and helping people, and my identity isn't on the line today. I just so happen to be the person on the stage that gets to help some friends. But I could easily flip that over the next 5 minutes. If you start like laughing at a few of my jokes, I'm like, oh yeah, and it just gets flipped fast. But I can just only imagine what could happen for you and for me if we knew that we are already loved. I just wonder how we would act. I wonder how we would answer the question, who am I, if we truly knew that we are already loved and we don't have to earn it. And oh, guess what? You're not better than Jesus. What are you gonna do to outdo Jesus? Last time I checked, you can't walk on water. I dare you to try. You're going to drown. I promise you, you're not better than Jesus. But yet here's the heavens open up going, that's my boy. He's loved. If I'm God and Jesus is my son, I wait for him to do something awesome. Oh, like the Lazarus trick. You're like, hey, that's when I open up the heavens. That was impressive. I'm not gonna lie. That you brought somebody back from the grave. They were at a funeral and all of a sudden it was a birthday party. This is amazing. Like water to wine. Okay, this is a party. This is my God. Like these are the moments. But no, he's like, no, before you do a thing, I love you. I love you. I wonder who needs to hear this. That God loves you before you ever did anything. Like some of you might think, well, but you know, I sang a little louder in church. I knew the song. I raised my hand. I'm one of those Christians. God's like, yeah, but I loved you before you made it to church. The person you cut off in traffic, I love them too, and I love you just the same. It's like in your worst moment, I still love you. I'm getting ready to speak for this really large company in Chicago, and I was very nervous. And when I speak in church, there's not that much pressure. Except when Jeff sends out an email that says this is going to be Ryan's best message ever. But besides that, there's pretty much not a whole lot of pressure. Okay, I read the email today. All right, it was like, yeah, Ryan speaking, kickoff year. I was like, okay, great. Yeah, I can live up to that. No biggie. You know, like there's not a whole lot of pressure right now. But when you speak in corporate America, they'll rank you on a scale of 1 to 10. Everybody, and then they'll send you the email with your score. Okay, so like there is a literal scoreboard that you're like, oh my gosh, and you're like trying to live up to it. And there's so many different mind games that can come with that. And so I show up and I'm wearing a suit and I'm, hey, how are you? It's good to see you. And here's what the event planner says. She goes, Ryan Link, we love you already. I was like, but why? Like, what do you mean? She goes, listen, our executive team read your book. And let me just tell you, your book helped me and my husband have the most powerful conversation we've ever had. We love you already. And I was watching another speaker, and I was like, kind of listening to them, and I'm like, but they seem like super legit. And she goes, yeah, he's name dropping too much. We don't like that. But listen, we love you. All right, because I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should do some name dropping. Like, right, I should do that, right? Like, I should. They're like, no. We love you already. I'm like, but, you know, I got some things. Like I still got an hour. I still got 60 minutes to go. You know what I mean? And then it's like, hey, but we love you already. And my life has changed that day because I thought, what if the world knew that? What if the world knew they were loved already? Because what happened to me in that moment is my shoulders dropped a little bit. I was a little bit more relaxed because all of a sudden I had nothing to prove. And my identity wasn't on the line. My score wasn't on the line. What would you do if you knew you were already loved? Can you imagine how you would go on a date if you knew they already liked you? Can you imagine how you would interview for a job if you knew you already got it? Can you imagine what it would look like if you just already knew you're good? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the love of God. You are pre-loved, pre-approved. And the scripture is your pre-approval letter. So I just have to imagine what it would look like for us if we begin to answer this question this year. Who am I? I'm a child of God. And I am already loved. I can accomplish a lot in my life, but it'll never make my identity. Some of us will put our identity in a golf swing. Some of us will put our identity in the ability to play an instrument, or our ability to understand technology, or our smartness, or our wealth. But something powerful happens when you and I decide to be one of those people. They say, Lord, my identity is in you. And I can't think of a better reason to want to be a Christ follower. Think about all the peace you get in that. You go, man, I don't have to spend my life climbing the ladder. No, the ladder, even if I got to the top, it wouldn't give me what I already got from my Heavenly Father who laid it all out for me. I am all ready loved. The second conversation that I think could absolutely shape your year is the community conversation. The community conversation, the central question in this conversation is, who has God put in my life and why? There are some people in your life, some of them you like, some of them you don't, but I just want you to know you need those people. And number two, God put those people in your life for a reason. You're like, it would be helpful if God moved some of these people on. Yeah, but remember, he put you in their life too, and they might be praying the same thing. But each and every one of us consistently has conversations about the world around us and the people in it, and sometimes we don't even invite them into that conversation at all. I've had so many conversations with my wife that I thought I had out loud that they were just all in my head. We do date night like every Saturday night, and we were talking about something important. I was like, hey, and I went to like share something important with her that I thought was like a refresher. And I saw the shock on her face. I said, I told you that already, right? She goes, no. I went, are you sure? Because I could have swore. That was in the shower, my bad. I thought I said it, but I didn't say it. And we can just begin to have conversations with ourselves about the world around us, about our colleagues, about our neighbors. I had a conversation today with a friend who I hadn't spoken to in 6 months. And over the course of that 6 months, we both made a lot of assumptions about one another that were absolutely false, all because we were having the wrong conversation with ourselves. And I just, in case you're one of those independent people like me, you need people. And God has placed you in this community, in this church, in your neighborhood, in your school, on that team for a reason. You're at that job for a reason. You're like, dude, I can't stand this place, but thank God they got you. And he placed you there for a reason. I'm gonna put something on the screen. If you wanna jot this down or take a picture of it, I actually saw a social media influencer break it down like this. He said, we all need these five kinds of people in our lives. Number one, we need a comforter. Someone you can be in pain with. Somebody in your life that when you're having a rough time, they go, I'm really sorry you're going through that. But let's just be honest, you know, sometimes part of the North Dallas culture, if you talk to anybody that like doesn't live in North Dallas, they don't feel bad for you, right? Because they're like, you live in Allen, you live in Frisco, because you don't feel bad for you. You're like, I mean, I still have a life and my heart can break and people can be mean to me and I can have a bad day. They look at the square footage of your house and they think, oh, you got it going on. You're like, that means nothing. I can still have plumbing issues just like somebody in an apartment, okay? Like that does, I'm not exempt from any of that. But it's nice when you have a friend that feels bad for you, even when other people think you got it going on. A comforter, somebody that you can call that you know is really going to listen. The second type of a friend that we need is a confronter. Someone who will tell us when we're wrong. And some of you are like looking at the person sitting next to you like, I didn't ask you to be my confronter. You volunteered to be this person, and that's fine, okay? You fill that seat. Okay, you wear that hat, but can you switch to another hat? We'll talk about it, okay? The other seat is a challenger. And not somebody that is always, don't think of the confronter in this way. Challenger is someone who makes you better. Someone who is challenging you, think iron sharpening iron. This is a person that is going, hey, like, hey man, what if we did a Bible reading challenge this year? A person that says, hey, let's go running together. Let's do something together. Hey, we should get everybody together and do a trip. Or hey, we should start a small group. This is a person that is challenging you to go to another level. The fourth thing that I think we all need is a counselor. Someone you can call on for wisdom. You know what breaks my heart? Is young couples that have no mentors. And they are constantly having to make decisions. And sometimes they find themselves snowballing in bad decisions because they don't have one person that they can call on to say, would you please help? And some of us have so much ego that even if that person was in our life, we wouldn't even know how to use the H word, help. But I think we all need it. I think we all need somebody that we can call on to go, hey, I gotta make a call to that. I'm just not sure. What do you think? And the last C that he mentioned is a celebrator. Someone you can share wins with. Somebody that is happy for you when you get a raise, because you got some people in your life, you get a raise, they be like, of course you got a raise. I just lost my job. You're like, my bad. I didn't know. I didn't mean to tell you. I should have told somebody else. Like sometimes you feel like you have to hide your wins, but when you got somebody that'll celebrate you, it's your favorite phone call of the day. Because you know they're never comparing their life to yours. When you look at these five C's, do you have them? I want you to think about, do you have people that wear these hats? Me and my wife, we were on vacation. We pulled out these five C's and we wrote the names of different people in our life. I challenge you to do the same. I'm not trying to be your challenger right now, but that was no pun intended, okay? But we just wrote down some names of different friends, perhaps some family members that kind of fill that role. And what we realized in that process was that my wife didn't have a celebrator. And I thought, I could wear that hat. Yeah, maybe I want to celebrate you more. Like some of it's assumed, because we share everything. But it's like, no, like, let me pick up that hat. Sometimes I want to be the confronter, but no, she ain't asked me to wear that hat. No, like, I want you to think about your own life. Who are the people that are playing those roles? And then, secondly, I want you to think, what role are you playing in other people's life? Is there somebody in your life that you showed them the five C's? Maybe you even asked them, go, hey, any one of these roles you would like me? Is there, here would be a very a deep question in a small group to say, hey, here are the five C's. And I'm just curious, what do you think everybody in this group needs the most this year? Somebody might go, counselor, I got a lot of decisions and I need somebody. Hey, would you wear that hat? Hey, confronter. Most people aren't asking to be confronted. But if you want to get better, you're going to need one. Somebody in the group might say, I actually had one of the best years of my life, and I can't tell anybody. Can you imagine the freedom they would have in that small group to go, tell us how you won last year. Let your wins be my wins. You sat courtside, take me next time. I like that. That's great. You know, like imagine the healing that could happen if we just opened it up. Last year, I studied the life of David, and it was fascinating to me. And one of the things that truly resonated with me was, as awesome as King David was, if you don't know who David was in the Old Testament, he's like Jesus in the Old Testament. Like, he's the guy. Like, everybody loves King David. He's the giant killer. But as awesome as he was, he needed people. He needed people to play some of these roles. At one point, he needed someone to call him out after he had an affair. Now, the 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, it says, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel. You're the guy. And he had painted this picture of a man who had done wrong. And David said, this man should be killed. Nathan goes, yeah, you're the guy. And Nathan received it. David received that. And he said, yeah, I am that guy. David was hiding from Saul, and Jonathan stepped in as a loyal friend to strengthen him. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. It says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All of those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. This is a man in a cave who's not doing well, is on the run, is a fugitive. And then 400 more depressed people say, can we join you? He's like, yeah, I guess I got room in the cave. I don't know how big this cave was, a hotel. My goodness, 400 people. And so, but here's what I love. It's just one chapter later, it says, Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. You see, David's got to be there for 400 people, but David also needed somebody to be there for him. I love what we see in another story. This is the untold story of David versus another giant. And the reason it's untold is because David doesn't defeat this giant. 2 Samuel 21, it says, once again, the Philistines were at war with Israel. You know, that's David's arch rival, right? He's always fighting the Philistines. And when David and his men were in the thick of battle, look at this. David became weak and exhausted. David, you get weak. David, you get exhausted. You're the guy that has slain 10,000. Like you're King David. There's a whole chapter in the Bible that's just his resume of the wars he won. But now, all of a sudden, in 2 Samuel chapter 21, they go, David had a moment where he was weak and exhausted. And Ishbi-Benob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. Why? Because he's weak and exhausted. And I'm guessing he didn't have his slingshot on him in the corner. But the scripture says, but Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Here's a giant killer who's known for killing giants that got cornered by one and is about to die. And yet he still needed a friend. Who are we not to need the same? I think it's going to be really hard in 2025 to need people if we're bitter at people. And I just have to wonder if 2025 is a year that you begin to have a community conversation with yourself and you invite a holy God to be a part of it and you say, Lord, with all of these people that you've put in my life, the ones that I like and the ones that I don't, would you help me love these people well? And if need be, would you help me forgive these people? If you accomplish nothing else all year, but you forgave the person that broke your heart, you are winning. And I wish I knew another way to do it, to let it go. Only way I know how is through the forgiveness of God. You take what he gave you and you try and give it to somebody else. When you realize you've been left off the hook, man, it's really hard to hold somebody else on one, because you realize you won the eternal jackpot. So wouldn't you give freely to other people? My hope and prayer for each and every one of us is that the people that God has put in our life, that we would absolutely know why. There can be times where your child might be frustrating and you go, I don't know why God gave me this child. Like, I am not equipped to parent you and you are not equipped to obey me. That's obvious. And so this just isn't working. But just imagine if you just said, no, God gave you to me for a reason. And so I'm gonna stand on that. You're a part of my community, and there might be some people at work, and there might be a real special neighbor that just loves to call HOA on you. We love those neighbors. We love those neighbors. Jesus told us to love those neighbors. They're included in the neighbor thing. That's fine, and it's never happened to us. We don't think. We suspect, but we don't know. Can't prove it. Nevertheless, it's like they're in your neighborhood for a reason. So be in the neighborhood. Be in the community. You go to church with these people for a reason. You might as well go, man, okay, Lord, I know I go to Chase Oaks, but why? Why have you placed me here? And perhaps who could use what you've put in me? And perhaps there's somebody here that you've put something in them that was designed for me. My hope and prayer is that this is the year that you find out why. The third and vital conversation I think we all need to have this year is the application conversation. The application conversation. The central question of this conversation is, what do I know that I don't do? What do I know that I don't do? Let me just tell you what will absolutely make 2025 remarkable for you. If you never learned another thing all year long, but you applied what you already know, you already read, already listened to, if you applied every podcast, every message, every book, your life would be remarkably different if you simply applied what you already know. I love what James chapter 1 says. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't do it and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I can only imagine what will happen for you and I if we decided to make this a year where we say, you know what? I know I should probably check on my parents more. And you did it. You'd find yourself a year from now going, that's not something that I need to work on. No, it's going to be a year of application. There are just these things that I know I should do. I know I could be a better friend. I know I could be a more intentional family member. I know I could reach out to these people. I know I should probably have this difficult conversation. I know I should probably serve. I know I should probably be in a small. I know. And I love what we say to our children when they make mistakes. You know better. Yeah, but knowing better ain't the problem. Problem is they have an application issue. And guess what? Some of us never grow up. Some of us are like still little kids. We just don't have parents running around at all times yelling at us. Some of us have older parents that are always yelling at us. But nevertheless, I think our spiritual life will be drastically different when we make a decision to say, you know what, this is going to be a year of application. What we could fall for, the trap of, is allowing good hearing to make us believe that we've got good living. Sometimes you could even come to church and Jeff speaking, and you go, man, that was a great message. Wasn't it a great message today? Man, that was awesome. It make you believe that you're doing awesome. But just because you heard a great message doesn't mean it was applied. How many times have you sat with your spouse and thought, man, we really needed to hear that. Whew. So you want roses or what are you thinking? Portillos? What are you? Let me get a number 7. And you just move on. And you never actually apply what was said. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, man, you got to listen to this podcast, man. It's amazing. Your life is the same. I don't know why. But just imagine. Imagine if you just went back on any notes you've ever taken in church and just went, Lord, is there something that you want me to do this year? Because I believe practicing the word is actually more powerful than reading it. But you can't practice it unless you read it. So I am very much looking forward to this year. And I know I'm supposed to say this is going to be the best year of your life. But I really believe it. Why? Because you get to talk to yourself in a much better way. And you get to invite a holy God to be a part of that conversation. And you get to have an identity conversation about who you are. You get to have a community conversation. Bless you. You get to have a community conversation about the people that God's put in your life and why. And you get to have an application conversation where you say, you know what, this is going to be a year not of hopes and dreams and wishes. It's going to be a year of action where I put into practice the things that I already know. With these three vital conversations, I truly believe 2025 can be your best year ever. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to look at something that is very important. And that's what we think about ourselves and the conversation that we often have with ourselves. I pray, God, that this would be a year where we truly know who we are. That this would be a year where we look at the people in our life and we know exactly why you put them there and why you put us in their life. God, I pray that this would be a year where we practice what is preached, that we would be doers of your word, that we would think about all of the things that we know, and that those things would be turned into action. May this be a year where things are completely different. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen.